response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you here. But here's what I've learned about myself over the years. I have a high-functioning brain.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Jeff Lutz.
Goodness gracious, you're really struggling today. If I had said that, I mean, I'd be kicked off the show permanently.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz. Jeff Lutz is with me. We're here for the next couple of hours. Max Power, producing engineering, 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. So, we got to start with the Royals. Guardians showed a little fight. Got one back yesterday.
Sure.
I watched quite a bit of that game. Quite a bit of the series, actually. What do you think?
I don't know what I'm supposed to think. What do you want me to think?
Well, here's what
I won yesterday.
You don't have a very good club right now. And
there's nothing right now about it.
They did show me a little something yesterday. But the Royals start a four-game series in Houston tonight. That's tough. Guardians get a well-needed day off.
Is it?
Yes, in my opinion.
The first time you
see...
They
are reeling.
The first time you see some balls drop, the first time you see some hits fall in, the first time you really feel good about yourself, I don't know if you want...
I don't think they really feel good about themselves.
Well, they have to feel better than if they had lost.
They feel relieved that they got out of that series with a win. No question about it. But the Royals are like a... They're still on the hunt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just
frustrating. You got out of a trap, but there's three or four
more. The Royals
are
okay. Okay, they're good. But they're not a team that should come into Cleveland and take three or four and just bully us around and almost sweep us. I got nothing against the Royals because they actually do have the fight that you'll see more often lately. The Guardians used to have that this year. But it's frustrating because they're not great.
I know you've been around baseball. I've been around baseball. I've seen this kind of stuff before. I've seen it happen many times. A team just hits a wall out of the blue, and they just fall apart.
It hasn't really been out of the blue, though.
Well,
since the All-Star break.
And then there's that team that everything seems to go right. It doesn't matter what it is. Now, Michael Lorenzen getting hurt yesterday, that's something that hasn't gone right because he was pitching really well. He's going to be out a little bit. That hurts the Royals. They have Alec Marsh, but he's not Michael Lorenzen. But Paul DeJong comes over just having a month like he hadn't had in a long time. They're pitching. All those free agent pitchers they brought in, all of them, are successful.
Well, the two brought in.
They go get Lucas Urseg. Now, you dinked him a little bit yesterday.
We got to him.
Three.
Don't give me dinked.
You dinked and dunked him. Those weren't solid hits, but they were hits. You got to him. But he's been outstanding. It seems like the Royals have the golden touch right now. I don't know if next year it will continue. It may not. They may go from 56 wins to 95 wins, back to 78.
Well, they're not going
to
get 95 wins.
Well, 90 wins, whatever they're doing.
They'd have to go 11 games over 500 or something like that for the rest of the season.
You know what I'm saying. And I wouldn't put anything past them.
Well, that's what the Guardians did. They went from winning the division to last year it dropped off quite a bit. And this year they're back. They're not really back, but they are good sort of again,
almost.
They got
28 games left. They need to go 20-8 to go to 95 wins, and I don't think that's ridiculous. It's probably
not ridiculous, but it's
probably not going to happen. But they'll get to 90 wins.
It's not ridiculous, but it's also not in line with what they've been doing all year. They've just been a steady team. They haven't had huge runs of wins, but they have not allowed themselves to fall into a funk either. That's all it really takes. If you don't have any stretches that are bad, you're probably going to look up in late August
pitching
and feel good about yourself.
They've got reliable starting pitching, and it's been that way from day one. And when you have that, your offense comes and goes, but your pitch when your pitching doesn't. Now their bullpen has been or was erratic. It's much better now, but they're coming, man. They're coming for you.
Whatever. I mean, I don't fear the Royals. I fear the Guardians. I fear the Guardians sinking. It doesn't really matter who plays well. If the Guardians are playing bad, then it doesn't matter. Somebody will catch them.
Well, that's what I mean. They're
coming. If they'd just been playing like they had in the first half, they'd be running away with this thing.
The problem is, I know you don't want to hear this. It's always been built on a house of cards. They don't have the offense to be a threat. They just don't.
Sure they do.
No, they don't.
Stephen Kwan has not hit.
Yeah.
Josh Naylor has not hit.
That's what I'm talking about.
You put those three guys, adding Jose Ramirez with
guys who are good hit.
With John Kinsey Noel and David Fry.
John Kinsey Noel could go the rest of the year hitting 160. And you know it, I know it, and the American public knows.
He's not hitting 160.
You know
he's hitting around 270 with power and an OPS in the 900s.
That's a guy they'll figure out in a week.
They've already figured him out.
Why do you want to argue with me? I am the voice of wisdom when it comes to this.
No, you're not. And you'd love to have John Kinsey Noel on your team. Spark some joy. You have no joy on your team.
What do you mean?
The Guardians have very little.
Mason Wynn and Victor Scott. Those guys are. Mason's been good all year. Victor Scott's coming around. I have hope. I'm not like, I know what, we're not going to get to the playoffs this year, and they need to get rid of John Mozeliak and all that.
Well, it doesn't sound like they're going to.
But you'd love to have Victor Scott, who seems to be figuring it out, right? That's what young players hopefully do.
We'll see.
Have had a lot of them that haven't. But I've told you the first time I saw him. What did I say? Last year at Riverfront Stadium.
It's not hard to see a guy who's hitting 340 with 100 steals.
He wasn't hitting 340. What was I telling you? Go back in time.
And he got to the big leagues the very next year, so this isn't an epiphany you had.
What was I telling you?
Cardinals brass saw it too, so it wasn't just you.
That's my point. The brass sees what I see.
So it must have been pretty obvious, is what you're saying.
And I don't know why you're lashing out at me. I'm just trying to be real with you. And I think in your honest state, you understand it. You look at Cleveland right now, and you don't see a very good baseball team.
No, it's not even that. It's that they could try to be better. They could act with some sense of urgency.
They must not think that these prospects that you're so high on are very good.
Well, you know who I know isn't good? Tyler Freeman. So if you're just going to stick with a bad player out of fear that another guy might not be as good as you hope, then that's, again, a loser's mentality. And there's so much loser's mentality going on in the Guardians organization that it's hard to stomach at times. Because you know who doesn't have a loser's mentality? The Kansas City Royals.
Right. And they're trying to get there. But I'm telling you, they got their hands full with Houston this weekend. That will be the series of the weekend. Starts tonight
in
Houston. And both teams have a lot on the line. The Astros are still in a fight with Seattle.
Sort of.
Seattle's not really fighting them right now, but it's still a fight.
That's a team that's really sunk. And they're only in it because Houston is like 10 or 11 games over 500, not really running away with
Houston
it either.
Houston hasn't played well of late. Seattle has been treading water. Those two teams haven't played well. The best team currently in the American League, in my opinion, is clearly the Royals.
Clearly?
Clearly. That's my opinion.
The Yankees and Orioles up there.
The Yankees just lost a series to Washington.
Everybody loses series occasionally.
The Royals aren't.
To bad teams.
The Royals aren't right now, and that's what I mean, right now. I'm talking about right now.
I wouldn't put them in the best
team. That's because you don't want to put them.
No, because I just wouldn't. Because I've watched every team, and they aren't the best.
Well, I got them going to the World Series.
That's too bad.
Why are you getting so angry with me? I'm just on this show doing what I do.
Because I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired
just
of
tired
it.
Tired of me?
Just tired of it. Just well, tired of all it? Of it.
What's it?
I'm just sickened that we've allowed the Royals to hang around here when we could have buried them a long time ago. It's not
Why
even,
are you taking that out on me?
I'm just so sick of it.
Well, but what is it? Is
just
part
so sick of
it?
Of hearing about it.
Is part of it me?
Just so sick of hearing about it. They're not that good. You're good. They're not that good.
Man, you are struggling with this.
The Guardians. Do you think the Guardians were better in April and May than the Royals are now?
I think the Royals right now, the Royals.
But I'm asking you a specific question.
Are a very dangerous team, and I always felt like the Guardians were a team that was vastly overachieving.
Then we can feel like that about the Royals too.
I don't feel that way about the Royals.
Why?
Because they have really good pitching, and when you have, that's what. My team, the St. Louis Cardinals, used to have.
Do you think Seth Lugo is going to go likely on the road in a wild card series in game one, maybe at Baltimore or New York, and win that game?
I think he's got a great shot at it. Yes, sir.
Everybody has a shot at everything, but will he go in to Yankee Stadium?
I think so. And I think Lugo.
Or Hughes, wherever it's going
to be. Reagans, Waka. Singer, and if they get Lorenzen back, I think that's the best group of starting pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
And what I don't want is for you to be angry with me.
I don't think it is.
I'm just, well, again.
I don't think you put Michael Waka is not in a group of the best starting pitchers.
Well, sure he is.
I know he's been fine. That's all great. But he's still Michael Waka.
Yeah, he's had a very good career. What do you mean he's still Michael Waka?
He's just an okay
pitcher.
He's
better than anybody Cleveland has.
I wouldn't
anybody. I mean, get real. Name a starting pitcher you have who's better than Michael Waka.
Tanner Bibee should be.
But is
Matthew
he?
Matthew Boyd has been.
Is he?
Matthew Boyd right now, yeah, is better than Michael Waka.
Oh, my
Waka.
Goodness. What's wrong with
and
you,
we'll
man?
And we'll see Michael Waka or Matthew Boyd pitch tomorrow, and he'll
Michael
dominate.
Waka ranks 13th in the American League in ERA at 3.50. You know who ranks higher? Brady Singer, 10th. Cole Reagans, 9th. Seth Lugo, 4th.
Never heard of any of those guys.
Did you get my drift?
Just so sick of it.
Do you know the top-rated Cleveland starter in ERA? Tanner Bibee at 16th.
He's killing it.
You want to know who's next?
Probably not.
There's no one else in the top 33.
Well, no kidding. You think I didn't know that?
Why are you getting upset
Where's
with me?
Ben
I
Lively?
Keep asking about it.
Where's Ben Lively? He's had a good year.
He may not have pitched enough innings to qualify. You got to pitch a lot of innings.
Yes.
To qualify. I mean, you got to be out there.
You got to pitch one inning per team game to qualify.
And he hasn't.
He's 3.62.
Well, if 3.62 had qualified,
he's at 126.
He'd be 15th.
Okay, there you go. He's at 126 innings.
But it doesn't qualify. He's a non-qualifier is what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, he's really close.
Here's what Ben Lively is. Not qualified.
For what?
Oh, man. I feel your pain.
No, you don't.
I've dealt with it.
I just want to be in my world. And my world is, I'm angry, I'm bitter about how the team's been playing. But I don't need to hear about the Royals. I just don't.
Well, who do you talk to about it?
Vent on Twitter.
And by the way, I don't want to get too excited. Paul Goldschmidt's getting hot for the first time all year.
Good.
For the first time all year. Do you care?
No.
Thank you a lot.
I do
That's
not.
That's the kind of support I love.
Well, you wouldn't care if Josh Naylor was getting hot.
You want to know what we have on the show for you today? Not you, but what we have on the show today. At 2:25, John Talty, an author. He's co-authored a book with Armin Katayan. It's called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. I got the book. I haven't read it yet. I just got it in the mail yesterday. And that's one I'm definitely going to read because this is such an appealing topic. And who better to write about it? I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Is he the best guy to write about it?
Yeah. And Armin Katayan, these are both highly qualified journalists.
What's the guy's name?
John Talty.
I don't know that I know him.
Well, I'll tell you all about him.
Can't wait. We're gonna have a good interview with him.
At 2:45, Brent Pfeiffer, the head football coach at Mays South, the Mavericks. We'll talk with Coach Pfeiffer. They're having high expectations with that team. We're eight days out now from
That's what it is.
The start of high school football.
Yeah.
And then at 3:25 today, we've got eight games. We're going to make our picks, our first picks of the year. And that'll take us into February through the Super Bowl.
Yes, it will.
Every Thursday. Isn't it fun?
Yeah, it is.
Why are you so upset? You're not engaged
upset.
Today.
Yes, I am. I was just thinking about something else.
What were you thinking about?
If we'll pick the Royal Rumble since it's now after the Super Bowl.
No, we won't pick
the Royal Rumble. We won't do that?
Of course we won't.
It's too bad.
Nobody cares.
Some people do.
No, not our listening audience.
There's a few out there.
There's a few guys
care about the Royal Rumble.
You know, I get into it. I like it. I like having the guys over and tweaking you. My whole life's about tweaking you.
Well, stop. Your whole life should be about nurturing me and loving me.
At 41?
Yeah, you should be nurturing
me. I should be nurturing you?
Absolutely.
Didn't I spend enough time nurturing?
Did you nurture me ever?
Oh, God. The nurturing that went on.
I don't remember any of it.
Ridiculous. Oh, please.
Nurturing?
Yes.
I don't think that happened.
You always had a soft landing spot.
I did.
With me.
What?
I mean, as a young kid.
Okay.
And then, I set about trying to make you a man.
And I did it.
And let me tell you about that.
I did a good job.
Let me tell you about that.
Tell me.
There's not a lot of nurturing when it comes to that.
Well, I bet I could have been a man and been nurtured at the same time.
You were nurtured to some degree. I always had your back.
Well,
but
thanks.
I'm going to tell you right now. You're going to get out there and you're going to,
Well, here I am.
Well, you're doing fine.
How do you think you did?
I think I did well.
Good.
I mean, I did okay.
You did fine.
Well, not according to you.
Yeah, I just don't remember the nurturing part of it.
Well, so what if you don't remember?
The rearing was great. The nurturing, not so much.
I nurtured you at every stage of your life. Until you were about two.
Exactly.
Then we set out on a bigger mission.
Thank you.
Is that about it?
KU plays tonight.
They do. They play Lindenwood.
Not going to glean much from that game.
Complex in Kansas City.
Yeah. Well, it's more than that. It is that, but
first two games are there. And then they move to Arrowhead.
For a few.
While the work continues on the campus at KU. On their brand new facilities, which is going to be incredible.
That might be something we can ask our author about.
We can.
What kind of advantage a facility has now? Maybe none.
Maybe none. Who knows? We will return and talk with John Talty. He is coming up next. Got a new book out, co-authored with Armin Katayan. It's called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. John joins us coming up next.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right, John Talty joins us. He is a national college football writer for CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports. He's written some books. He's teamed with Armin Katayan to write his latest book called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos, and chaos being the operative word. Welcome to the show. How are you, John?
Good. Appreciate you having me on today.
You bet. So what made you and Armin decide to wade into this, because it's such a complicated, complex, deep subject matter? I've never seen anything shift in college athletics like I've seen the last year or two. What made you guys decide to go after this topic?
I think we're gluttons for punishment. We knew this is going to be a really hard book to do. And it was, because of how much is going on and all the different ways that you could take it. But, you know, I think for us, it just felt like an opportunity that was just ripe for a deep dive book to, you know, not only explain kind of how we got here and where we're going, but I think it's so important to actually explain like what is actually happening within the sport on a human level. You know, I think, what is it like to be a head coach in this era where guys are coming in and out of your office demanding money or they're going to leave? What's it like to be a five-star quarterback who now can get more than $1 million a year just for being a good high school football player, you know, to where you want to go? That would not have been possible, you know, 5 years ago. And so I think there's a lot that we see from the outside that says, all right, feels chaotic, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, but like, we wanted to take you deep inside that, take you to places that, you know, maybe the average person or average fan can't be, and show you, you know, what it's really like, what it means, or what it was like for, you know, to be an Alabama football player and Nick Saban walks into the team meeting room and tells you he's leaving. You know, how did that impact you? How did that change you? What did you do from there? You know, those kind of insidery details that, you know, you can't really find anywhere else.
Is this system of NIL set up for just one school to dominate? Could that happen if one school just gets so much resources that they can't be competed with? And I guess we kind of know that the Power Five, and maybe even particularly the top of the SEC and the Big Ten, are going to have those resources if it is close, and if all these schools kind of have a similar amount of money. What's the ultimate separator in how to become a long-term success?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's set up just for one, because, you know, in theory, anybody can spend as much as they want, you know, and I think you're seeing, you know, I had a story for 24/7 Sports the other day looking at some of the, you know, the top spenders for this season. And, you know, you've got a school like Ohio State, which has obviously a huge fan base and is, you know, very desperate to win a national championship this year after seeing what Michigan did. And then you've got another school like Oregon, which is really reliant on one person, but that guy just happens to be the person who started Nike and has a lot of money that he wants to spend to see his favorite school win. So there's always going to be rich enough people who want to kick in and give their school a shot. You know, I think what the differentiator is, you know, it's stuff that has always been a factor, right? You know, it's, where is the campus? Do you feel comfortable there? Do you like the coaches? Do you feel comfortable with them? How are they going to develop you moving forward? I think some schools are still really good at selling that. Georgia is one of them where, you know, maybe we're not giving you the most upfront money, but you come to Georgia, you got a really good shot to win a national championship. And if you do what you're supposed to do, you have a really good shot to play in the NFL and make a lot of money down the line. So there's always different pitches that are not solely about the money, but if you don't have money, you don't have a shot right now. And we've definitely seen certain schools emerge from the pack that are more aggressive, have more money to play with, and are more willing to spend it.
John Talty, our guest, he has co-written a book called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. We mentioned how complex that topic is, and I applaud you guys for approaching it and writing individual stories kind of about these topics. It's really, really a great way to go about it, in my opinion. So my point has been lately, I'm looking forward to this college football season a whole lot because of all the change, especially as it pertains to those of us who live in Big 12 country. This conference is unrecognizable to what it was just a couple years ago. But I'm not sure, John, that I'll be this interested in 2 or 3 years. I'm not sure this kind of stuff, this kind of complete change has staying power. Do you understand where I'm coming from on that?
100%. And I think that's the concern right now with college football, right? Because I'm also really excited. 12-team playoff, I can't wait to see how that looks. I think it's going to open up, you know, new opportunities for schools that, you know, maybe couldn't have gotten into the 14 playoff. But, you know, maybe you can talk yourself into, hey, Kansas got a good quarterback. Maybe we can win the Big 12 and then we're in the playoff. That, I think, would be huge for the Kansas fan base to have that kind of breakthrough moment. I think the concern is there are a couple factors. I think one of them that I hear from fans that would concern me long term is, you know, we're about to kick off here on Saturday, you know, the season really starting, and they're telling me, I don't even really know who's on our team anymore. You know, I think that there's maybe not that personal attachment to the players the way it once was, because, you know, so many guys are coming and going that it's hard sometimes to, you know, this guy just got here a couple months ago. I hope he's good, but I don't really know that much about him. I don't know his story. It's harder, I think, for us to, you know, feel that attachment the way we used to when you saw maybe a guy come in as a freshman and work his way up to, you know, being a leader and captain as a senior. So that's, I think that's part of the challenge. I think the other part is, you know, the loss of rivalries along the way. You mentioned the Big 12 being almost unrecognizable. You know, we write a lot in the book about the Pac-12 imploding, and there's a loss that comes with that. You know, I went to a school that when I went there was in one conference and now it's in another, and there's an impact there. You lose games that you cared about as a fan, and you can pick up new ones and you'll pick up new rivalries. And it feels really fun early on. It feels new. It's, you know, hey, I can go on a trip. You know, if I'm a Kansas fan, like I can go on a trip to Arizona now and see our team play them or whatever it might be. But like you said, does that newness wear off in a couple of years? I think it could. And the concern would be when the newness wears off, do you still have that attachment to the sport the way you used to? And, you know, I think a lot of fans are still very excited and I am one of them, but you know, I think that would be my long-term concern about, you know, college football losing a little bit of what makes it special along the way.
Have you begun to see a shift in the power dynamic from coaches to players now who are earning six figures, sometimes maybe even more than that? Will we ever see a pronounced shift from coaches to players in college football? And how have coaches kind of responded to all this extra money floating around? It's obviously not necessarily earmarked for them, but do they want extra perks? Are they trying to get more money because of this?
No, I don't think they're trying to get more money because of it. I think some of them would be willing to put up their own money if they could, if it meant them having better players. But, you know, coaches aren't, you know, according to the rules, at least, allowed to directly pay. But, you know, I think we've definitely seen a shift in power. I think that you could argue that players have never had more power than they do right now. Certainly have never had more leverage than they do right now, because a guy can threaten to leave at any moment and probably find a place to go and make more money. And so that makes it really hard for these coaches who for many decades had essentially all the power. You know, I'll tell you, I talked to, you know, a Power Four coach, you know, not that long ago. And this person was, you know, theorizing, it's like, one day I wouldn't be shocked if 20 or 30 of the top players essentially boycott, where they say, you know, if we don't get more money, or if we don't get this, we're not going to play. And, you know, what's the coach going to do in that situation? So we're moving closer to that world now. I think there's hope that there's new, you know, guidelines and rules coming down the line. But as it stands right now, that is a thing that could happen. And some of it's already happening to small amounts. There's already some of that. If you don't give me X, I'm not going to do this, happening within college football, which, as you can imagine, frustrates those coaches quite a bit.
Final moments here with John Talty. He's co-author of a brand new book out called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. Armin Katan, the other co-author of this book. And I just think every college sports fan needs a copy of this. You also wrote a book, The Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban. He's in this book as well, quite prominently. Will we have coaches like Nick Saban now in this era of college football? Will coaches want to stay around as long as he did? Ultimately, won't coaches have to be paid a little less? How's this going to shake out in that regard?
Well, there's some stuff in our book where I've talked to some people who are close to Kirby Smart, and they all say, I don't think he's going to last as long as Nick Saban did. And part of it's just the pressure that these guys are under. I think we use the money as a catch-all. Well, hey, this guy makes a lot of money, so that's part of the job. And I completely understand it. Trust me, they all make a lot more than I do. But, there's a lot of pressure these guys are under. The recruiting is 24/7. You're constantly fighting to keep your roster together. You're having to beg boosters to give you money for your collective. There's just a lot of stuff that these guys don't really want to deal with. And some of them are burning out. They're working every weekend, 50 weeks out of the year. And that takes a toll on guys. And so, whether guys can last the way that some of these iconic coaches and Nick Saban, before him, Bobby Bowden and Joe Paterno, guys who coached into their 80s, it feels less and less likely unless we see some major changes. And, the financial thing is interesting. You would think based on like natural economic principles that if you all of a sudden now have to pay a massive amount of money to a new workforce, that would cause other salaries to go down. But the thing fighting back against that is the guy we read about in the book, and his name is Jimmy Sexton, and he's the ultimate agent, and he has done a great job at getting all of his clients a lot of money for the last 20 plus years. And so I can tell you right now, Jimmy Sexton will do everything in his power to make sure those coaching salaries do not go down. Maybe we see some slowing of the explosive growth rate in salaries. I know there's already been people that have theorized that maybe we won't see these massive buyouts being paid anymore because schools just can't really afford to do it. But, schools throwing a lot of money away is something that seems like a tried and true method for them. So even though there might be a lot of reason for them to tighten it up and be smarter with their money, I'll just say this, I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, we could talk about this all day. I'm sure you're being requested for shows like ours quite a bit because it's an incredibly fascinating topic. I appreciate you coming on with us to talk about it. John, we'll hopefully catch up soon. And congratulations on this endeavor. I'm really looking forward to really digging into the book.
Well, I so appreciate you saying that and so appreciate you having me on. And, I just think, like you said, if you're a college football fan at all fascinated about kind of where we are and, also interested in some of these big names like Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh and Kirby Smart and, what happened to Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, I really think this is the book for you. So I just can't wait to hear how people, are enjoying it. And I look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Thanks, John. All right, there you go. Again, a never-ending fountain of interest that I have in all this. I want to see how it plays out. I'm genuinely probably more excited for this college football season than I've ever been, even when I was...
Why do you think that is?
Even when I was working and covering this stuff. I don't know. Because of all this change, I want to see where it goes.
It might not ever stop unraveling and playing out.
The drama.
Well, ultimately, the games will just be the games.
They will be. They will be. And they start in earnest tonight. A lot of games tonight, all weekend through Labor Day, including Kansas State coming up on Saturday. You can hear that game and all K-State games right here on KFH. Brent Pfeiffer, the head football coach at May South. We're 8 days away from the opening of high school football across the state. May South coming off a very successful 2023 season. Brent, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us on. And you guys have some of the best music when I get on here.
We really do. It's
he doesn't love Little Feet.
We're proud of it.
There you go.
So
yeah, you bet.
What's going to make What's going to make 2024 successful?
Well, I think, you know, if we get everybody together like we've done, the kids have done a great job this off season. We've had some of the best attendance we've ever had. Kids have put a lot of extra time in on their own on top of that. And, you know, we've got great leadership in some of our returners that are back here as seniors this year that were juniors on the field last year. So I think that leadership that they've shown in the off season, if we continue to do that and stay healthy, we'll be pretty good in the end.
One of those leaders, I assume, is your quarterback, Tate McNew, who now is a senior. Seems like he's been there forever, but he's just played a lot. So how has he evolved as a leader? What do you expect from him in that area this year and productivity-wise on the field?
Yeah, you know, he's had a lot of talent. You know, coming in as a freshman, even there was just – we saw the talent. The talent was there. He's improved his strength every year. His accuracy is getting better every year. And really, probably the biggest step is, like you said, for him over the last couple of years is his leadership, his ability to, you know, make a mistake and move on very quickly and do the same for his teammates. You know, when the young guys get in and they make a mistake, he's the first one there to pick them up and get them believing in what's going on for the next play. And you know, it's great to have a kid with that much time behind the center to lead us around.
Talking to Mays South Football with Brent Pfeiffer, the head football coach. So this is always such a tough division, AVL, CTL, Division Number 1. We know Derby's strong every year. We know you guys are good. We know Mays is good. What's it look like?
I think it's just like you said. It gets hairy, you know. Derby's always, you know, talented. They've got a load of kids over there every year. That's a big old school with some great coaches there. And, you know, Hutchinson is a team that I feel like, you know, they're just so far west that people in ABCTL, like, forget to mention their name. But I think they're top to bottom one of the better teams and programs in our league. You know, coach does such a great job over there. Those kids, they work so stinking hard, and they're well coached every Friday. They're prepared, and you know, and then you know, you talk about, you know, Mays North over there just turns it over every year. They're finding new kids, and then they show up, and God dang it, they're a tough one as well. So you know, I think top to bottom, our Division One is amazing, and it's fun that it's that competitive.
Yeah, why don't they call them Mays North? That's not right. They just get to keep the name. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. Just, we got to remind our kids over here. People around our community are always talking about Mays this and Mays this, and they forget to add a directional, I guess. So we're just gets to be.
Yeah.
Habit,
so what else you? Yeah, I get it. So what else are you kind of looking to do offensively? Obviously, you got the quarterback there, and he's firmly planted. I know you lost a couple of other weapons. How do you go about developing new ones?
Well, we bring back, you know, Tate gets a lot of credit and notoriety and well deserved. But we also bring back our receiver that led us in tight ends or in touchdowns last year, and Landon Gatto, and you know, he'll be a 3-year starter for us, and you know, he's super talented at, you know, almost 6'5", 6'4.5", 6'5", long range, a good speed. He's really improved. He did some track this last spring, improved his speed, and you know, he's a kid that we'll rely on heavily to. You know, show some of our new young receivers that have a lot of talent, you know, but he's got to, you know, show them kind of the way that things need to be done on Friday night and the speed that things are going to happen. So, you know, we'll rely on Landon quite a bit to help Tate out in getting these young kids ready to go.
Talking Mays South Football, Brent Pfeiffer, the head football coach. So you opened at home against Newton.
Or is it on the road? Because
no, it's at home.
Both. Okay.
And we know you play Mays and Derby and Hutchinson and the teams in your division. Who's on your non-conference schedule this year?
Well, there was some changes late. You know, that kind of changed for us in this new cycle. So, you know, we had let me think how that work out again. Newton went down to Division II, Valley Center came up to Division I. And just the way it shook out with what our schedule was supposed to be, and then how it turned out that our schedule was, we ended up actually just keeping those two teams on. So we ended up keeping Newton on. I really don't know. At the end of the day, some athletic director somewhere is in charge of putting the schedule together. And in the spring, they're like, "Here, it's final. There it is." And so our non-conference this year is Newton, and Ark City.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah.
So what's 5A looking like?
Go ahead.
Go. No, you're perfect. Go. If you want to continue, please do.
Well, you mentioned the Mays and Derby and Hutchinson games, and those three are for us. When they change the schedule around and fix it all, and with all the changes, they put those guys all at the end for us. So 6, 7, 8 is Mays, Derby, Hutch for us. So it'll be right there before the playoffs. Will be a pretty good battles.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Class 5A. We know it's always loaded. Capen got to the state championship last year, but loses their running back.
And they're going to 4A.
And they're in 4A. That's correct. And I guess you don't play them, but what kind of have you heard about Carroll? Because last year was an uncharacteristically kind of down year for them. So what have you heard about them and just the class overall in 5A?
Well, you know, we're pretty connected in our communities. They've got a lot of kids that live around here, and our kids grow up together and attend services and things like that. And so, you know, we do some stuff with them in the summer, some 7-on-7 and some camp things like that. We hang out with that staff a little bit. That Dusty Trail and his group are just great men and good mentors for young kids. And so we do a lot of things together in the off season, and we get our kids together. The kids know each other, and it's a lot of fun to kind of play around with your friends a little bit. Some, and you know, we'll see what those guys come up with. You know, they've got tough kids over there. I can tell you what, if you're not a tough kid, you're not on the team. So when they show up on Friday night, you have to be prepared because they're well coached. They're in the right spots. So you know, we'll see what they can put up there this year.
Brent Pfeiffer, our guest from May South. We just had an author on the show. He's co-authored a book about this era of college football with NIL, transfer portal, everything that goes with that. You're on the high school level, obviously. Is there any seepage into the high school level from this stuff? And if so, how much? And if not, when do you expect that to start to happen? Because it just feels like we've entered this era that there's no turning back from, and I don't know where it's going to lead us to.
Oh my gosh, guys, we could talk for hours on this thing. It's unbelievable. I really think kind of what happens at the, you know, that's, I think like everything else in our world right now, there's a trickle down. And so if something's going on in the NFL, then the kids at the college level are like, we want this and we want to do this. And then that comes down and eventually it gets to us. And I think it's here already. You know, there's a lot of kids, you know, are hearing how much money they can make here and there. And, you know, there's positives and negatives. I think the positive is there's more kids now at the high school level that are looking for additional training. You know, there was weightlifting in Kansas, I think, and the kids that would do stuff in their local high schools has always been, I think, one of the better states in the country, really. Like, we've done a really good job in this state about keeping up with the trends and stuff like that when it comes to fitness and strength. But now we've got kids that are going out and they're getting extra training with route running and quarterbacks. There's position-specific coaches that are out there, and the kids are going out and they're getting in 1, 2, 6 hours a week in the off season, trying to get better, and all in hopes of, you know, maybe that paying off in the end, and maybe them able to get a scholarship where they're getting some money. And but you know, on the flip side of that, then you've got kids that, you know, they see people just, you know, without the loyalty to a certain school, just leaving and going here and going there and going there and chasing it all. And they're not happy we leave and go somewhere. And that's, you know, that's not what football was supposed to be about. That this game is supposed to be about hard work, determination, loyalty and grit. And so we lost maybe a little bit of that as this thing trickles to us. So we've got to find a way to make that right. And I think that's just on us coaches to hold ourselves accountable. You know, what kind of program do you want to run? What kind of character and expectations do you want within your program from your kids and your parents? And you got to be okay with holding true to what you believe in and who you want your kids and your families to stand for.
Yeah, you kind of touched on something I was going to ask you about in regards to that. Do you think high school football can and will maintain its kind of innocence, I guess, in a way? There's not much, you know, more Americana than Friday football in your community and getting everyone out and seeing everybody. Will it feel as romantic as it still does now in a few years?
I hope so. You know, I think that's something we just have to, as a society and as communities, we've got to just fight for. I really believe that's something we got to stand up for and fight for, believe in, that we've got to find a way to keep these young kids, you know, at 14, this kid's not 25 out of college and chasing a career. This kid's 14, and there's a lot of life lessons to be learned here. And that life lesson isn't to just, when you're not happy, leave, quit, not build relationships, be loyal to those relationships, not put the work in. You know, we've got to hopefully hold on to that innocence. These kids deserve it. You know, it's the game's done so much for so many young men over the years that to lose that would just be a travesty in my mind. And we've really got to stick to it and hold ourselves accountable. And I think that's, you know, coaches as a staff, I have to hold our coaches to that. The coaches have to hold me to it. I need, you know, people within my school and within my community holding me and our staff to that same thing. And if there's a circle of accountability and expectation and everybody's on the same page, I believe that can happen. You know, when the community next to you doesn't do that or starts to trickle in there, then, you know, it just makes it harder on us that are hopefully trying to do the right thing. And, you know, so hopefully we can maintain that. You know, I think that's an important part of our society for young men growing up.
And I believe continued communication about it is imperative. So I hope all the coaches out there are talking to their parents and their kids and their families and keeping them abreast of all this, because like I said, it's not going away. Brent, yeah, Thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Always great to visit with you, and keep playing.
Thank you. Brent Pfeiffer, the head football coach at May South. We love talking
we
to
assume
our
he
high
said
school
something
coaches.
Very complimentary
said,
there at the end.
Bob, you're so much better than your son.
Wow, he did.
And
How'd you make that out?
You should ask for a raise.
No, ask for
I believe
one.
That's what was said. So we'll be back with hour number two. We've got picks coming up. Jason Duda will join us. Max will join us. And we'll embark down this long road that leads to me winning. Stay with us.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.